My name is Jose, and today's my last day here as a student minister at Grace, and I just wanted to thank you for looking after myself and Vincy and Toby over the last couple of years, and thank you also for letting us serve you as well. And given that this is the last Sunday of the year, I just thought on such an occasion it would be fitting for us to just have a brief look at the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, and particularly Paul's letter to the Ephesian, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians church in chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And I thought it would be appropriate at this time of the year because I think Paul's prayer helps us just to step back and take in the big picture. Now, imagine that most of us over the past several weeks have been really caught up in the nitty-gritty of life, especially as we've been preparing for Christmas parties and thinking about catching up with friends and family, and also we've got New Year's celebrations just coming around in a couple of days' time. And just for a moment, in between the craziness of Christmas and New Year, we've just got this precious brief moment for a few days where we can just breathe a little bit, take a step back, and take in the big picture of life, or at least think about it for a little bit, and chat to one another about the goals and the ambitions that we have for 2019. And likewise, at church, if you've been here for the past several weeks, we also have been thinking about life's nitty-gritty details. We've been working through the book of James over the past several weeks. And now, just for a moment, I'd just like for us to use Paul's prayer here in Ephesians to remind ourselves to breathe a little bit, to step back, and to consider once again the big picture of God's master plan for all things and all time, and to set for ourselves spiritual ambitions for 2019 and beyond. And to also reflect on the ultimate goal to which we as Christians here are all striving for. Now, Paul's letter to the Ephesians is about God's master plan for everything. And we just sang about it in the first song. We sang, "Come, praise and glorify." That's actually the first chapter of Ephesians. God's master plan is centered on Jesus, whose birthday we just celebrated. Jesus is the Christ, the King, and God's master plan is to unite all things in Christ, all things in heaven, all things on earth, and all peoples together, even hostile peoples, united to one another in faith, in Christ, through the cross, creating one new humanity, made up of a collection of believing individuals coming together to meet, like we are doing here today, as God's church, the household of God. And we who are believers, we're all bound together by the same Spirit, and we're all in the process of growing up together, physically and spiritually as well, to become this construction, this grand construction. God's Spirit is building us up together to become God's house. It's a house whose foundation is the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. And because we're being built up into God's church, it's for this reason that in chapter 3, verse 14, that Paul bows his knees before the Father and prays for his readers. And we here today are included in his prayer as well. It's a prayer that is asking God to help us toward the spiritual goal that he has for all of us. It's the ultimate spiritual ambition that all of us are striving towards. And that ambition is, as verse 19 puts it, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Which I think is a worthy goal to strive for in 2019. But, as you can probably imagine, it's not something that can be achieved in 12 months. Because the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. There's something about this particular spiritual ambition here that exceeds even our ability to comprehend it, to know it, to fully master it. We will never fully comprehend the love that Christ has for us. But we can renew our effort and grow in our knowledge in 2019. Now, to take on such an ambition, I think it's wise for us to be able to establish the right approach towards making spiritual progress. And that begins with thinking about the God to whom we're depending on to help us grow. So let's consider how Paul describes God as he prays in verses 14 and 15. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Paul gets on his knees. He humbly prays to God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And Paul is recalling his reason for praying, which he gives back a little bit earlier in chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Thanks to the person and work of God the Son, God the Father has united Jew and Gentile into one new humanity, which has Christ at the top. It's a new oneness which recalls God's design for humanity from the beginning. So, having the right approach to spiritual progress means remembering the big picture. It means remembering the big picture of God and humanity. So remember that all humanity was created in the image of God. All humanity takes their name from the name of God, but sadly all humanity has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You may remember also that for a long time, it seemed that the only way to be made right with God again was to be a particular race within humanity, God's chosen people, the Jewish people. And if you belong to any other race, well, if you're a Gentile, then you could not be right with God. At least that was the common understanding. And that, unsurprisingly, produced great hostility between Jew and Gentile. But remember also that in Christ Jesus, Jews and Gentiles, by faith, are joined together as one new humanity, united together by God's Holy Spirit, growing together into a great holy temple, fit for God to dwell. That's the big picture of God's master plan that Paul has in mind when he prays. And so likewise, we too ought to remember that big picture of God's master plan when we're praying, when we're thinking about goals and ambitions for 2019. With this God in mind, with this master plan of God in mind, let's now consider what Paul prays for. So let's read from verses 16 to 19. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When I was preparing for this, I caught myself wanting to say so much. There's so much that we could say about what Paul means about riches, about Christ dwelling in our heart, about being rooted and established in love. But for us here today, what I think might be the most striking thing about Paul's prayer, just in those few lines, is that Paul is praying for power. I think it's striking because I suspect that most of us aren't in the habit of praying for more power. Now, we might often wish that we had more power for all sorts of things. But do we have a habit of asking God for more power, like Paul does, for ourselves and for other Christians? I just want to just take a moment and reflect. Now that Paul here has reminded us that power is actually a thing that can be prayed for, I imagine that some of us might be a little bit excited, and some of us might be a bit uncomfortable about this thought. What does it mean? What kind of power does Paul have in mind? Now, we could point to all kinds of different examples and expressions of God's power. We could talk about God's power in creating the world. We could talk about God's power in laying down laws for us, or his power over the rise and fall of nations. But when Paul speaks of God's power here in this letter to the Ephesians, he appears to have a special aspect of that power in mind. Specifically, as he writes earlier, back in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul seems to have in mind the kind of special power that God exercised to raise Jesus up from the dead and to make him king over all things. It's this resurrection power that Paul has in mind when he prays for his readers. It's God's resurrecting salvation power, which Paul is now drawing upon as he prays for his readers. And he prays that that power might be put in effect in us by God's Spirit to help us to be able to comprehend the dimensions of the love of Christ along with all the saints. It's, I think, quite an extraordinary power that Paul is asking our Heavenly Father to apply to his readers and his listeners, including us here today. And I hope that this is a real encouragement for us, being reminded that the Apostle Paul prayed this prayer for the Ephesians and for all the saints, including us here today, who believe. Because surely the power of God, which is able to raise Jesus from the dead, has already been at work in each of us to have the spiritual eyes to see and to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And surely, if that power was able to help us to do that in the first place, that power will continue to do its work as others pray for us and as we pray for others. And we need every bit of that power, because the goal, the ambition of knowing the love of Christ surpasses our ability to know. Or to put it another way, the thing that Paul is praying for is an ambition that won't be exhausted even after an eternity of hard work and of striving. Love is simply too big of a thing for us to fully grasp. And I want to say that's a good thing. I mean, imagine living an eternal life where eventually there's no more ambition, there's nothing left new for us to do, nothing exciting, because we've fully mastered everything that there is to do and to know. If eternal life is like that, then I imagine it would be very boring. But growing in the knowledge of Christ's love is not like the other usual ambitions that we might have from year to year. Achieving mastery of God's love is not simply a function of effort over time. Love never goes out of date. Love never falls out of style. And the Apostle Paul, in another place, describes the love that we're striving to know more and more in these words. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now finally, the ultimate goal of Paul's prayer here in Ephesians is for his readers to be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that fullness look like? I mean, normally when we talk about being filled with fullness, and just in normal conversations, we usually say, and this is not a nice thing to say, but that we're full of ourselves. That's not a nice thing to be told, is it? But Paul is praying here that we be filled with the fullness of God, that we will be full of God. What does it look like? Well, you might remember that in another place, Paul will write concerning Jesus that in him, that in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And so here in his prayer to the Ephesians and for us, Paul is praying that we may become just as Jesus is, that the fullness of God that dwells in Christ would also dwell in us. Paul is praying that we might be made just like our Lord Jesus, that we be filled with the fullness of God himself, and to strive together as the community of believers to a greater and deeper knowledge of Christ's love for us. And this knowledge goes beyond what we can comprehend with our minds, but we give active expression to this knowledge in the way that we live out our daily lives, in the nitty-gritty of life, the way that relate to God, that we relate to God, the way that we will make relationships with one another and with the world around us. And this is what the rest of Paul's letter here in Ephesians will then go on to explain. After having given the big picture Paul then will go on to explain how knowing God's love might look like in life's details and the day-to-day between fathers and children, husbands and wives, slaves and masters, ourselves and God and the world. And similarly, as we've been working through James over the past several weeks, that is another book which is a pretty similar exercise in working out the nitty-gritty details and acting out God's love in our daily lives, which, as we know, is a really difficult thing to do, which is why we as Christians make commitments to do things and to commit towards certain things that non-believers find strange, because it's only the Christian who will make New Year's resolutions to commit to coming to church and praying more and having more quiet times and spending more time in God's Word and meeting more with other Christians and doing more ministry and working harder to insert Jesus into day-to-day conversations. Now, we do those things which sound really strange to non-believers because we here have been given the big picture. Into eternity, the quest to know Christ's love fully will transform us, radically transform us, and it will be unending, and it will be glorious. And it's the one ambition in life which is actually worthy of an eternity of hard work and of striving. And the Apostle Paul knows that we will need all the power we can get. So he concludes his prayer by directing praise back to the source of this power, to our Heavenly Father, in verses 20 and 21. He writes this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." When the Apostle Paul here is praying for God's power in us to accomplish more than we can ask or imagine, he's speaking from experience. He really knows what that looks like. You might remember the Apostle Paul was once a chief destroyer of God's church. It would have been impossible for anyone to believe that the Apostle Paul could be as radically transformed as he was, except for the love of Christ, which worked powerfully in him, which caused him not only to be saved, but even to be appointed as an apostle and a messenger of Christ Jesus to the church that he used to persecute and try to kill. And Paul himself actually alludes to his past history in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 8. If God, by his power, is able to do that, even for someone like the Apostle Paul, then in his mercy, all according to his grand master plan, God can do anything and save anyone. And I hope that this is a great reminder and an encouragement for us to keep praying and to pray really boldly and to pray often in 2019, especially for those things which we think are really unlikely or even impossible. Now, for me personally, every time I read over this bit of scripture, it always gets me thinking about the people in my life who I know, for all practical intents and purposes, I have given up on talking to about Jesus due to hostility or stubbornness or what have you. Now, in years long past, I would have just stopped praying for such people completely. But thankfully, I know God's love for me a little bit better these days, and I do continue to pray for such people with hope and with expectation. And personally, that's something that I'd like to keep striving for in 2019. God's love shown in Christ demonstrates that what is impossible with us is really possible with God, because our God has great power, and he will bring to completion his grand master plan of salvation. And that big picture, remembering that big picture, helped me to pray all the more. That's the power of the gospel. I hope you guys are convinced with that as well. For all of us who are believers here today, remember that in your own lives, each one of you, you know how your Heavenly Father has worked powerfully in you in the past. And with God's picture in mind, God's big picture in mind, and with Paul's prayer here to encourage us, let us be reminded again to be bold in how we pray and how we live. 2018, nearly passed. 2019 is about to begin. And we do not know what joys and what strifes await us in the coming year. But we do know what's awaiting for us in eternity. To know the love of Christ to the full and to live it out, relying on the power of God that makes possible the impossible, bringing forgiveness of sins and even life out of death. That's what we believe in. It's that kind of power, which is what Paul's praying for, would be at work in each one of us, whatever comes our way. And I hope it's my encouragement and it's my prayer for us today that as we close out this year and we begin another, that we will be reminded again of God's grand master plan of salvation and his great power at work in us that is mighty to save, that we will grow fully into the knowledge of God's love for us in Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that we would continue to be praying for God's church here and all around the world, that we might grow in this knowledge together, that we might continue to pray for and share the good news about Jesus to those who do not know it yet for themselves with great hope and with expectation, because each passing day, each passing year is one less until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. So with that in mind, let's pray.